Welcome back to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo, North America's largest EV festival coming to a major city near you. Well, joining us here is a great friend of mine, a great friend of yours. This is a gentleman that plays a major role in the automotive community, but not behind the wheel, behind the lens. Most people call him Larry Chen. I call him Larry Chen. So Larry Chen is joining us here. What a busy gentleman you are, man. I know you just got back from a big Canon conference. Was that in Indiana? Was it?
That was in Louisville.
Yep.
But your comment about being behind the lens and being behind the wheel, I hope to be behind the wheel a lot more. Actually, recently, or I wouldn't say recently, but last year, I was at GridLife Lime Rock, and I did a Tesla Model 3 race for the first time at Lime Rock, which was so cool. And we can talk about that more. But yeah, Electrify, all the things.
Just going right into it. I love it. Like, yeah. just a man of many talents. And I'm not trying to be offensive. Larry and I go way back, probably 20 years or so. And, you know, and I'll start out by saying I officiated him and his lovely wife, May's wedding. He's a father, a husband. But just what I would call it, like an entrepreneur, taking your skill set. And as you said, you got into this because you loved cars. How can you dabble your talent into the automotive world? And that's exactly what you did. But I do love you talking right out of the gate, right before we hit record. I said, not exclusive about EVs, passionately, intimately, your relationship with EV and Electrify, all things Electrify. But I, you know, for anybody listening here, they either, who is Larry Chen, or, oh, snap, cool, I want to hear Larry's stance on EV and where you're at. But I mean, you're in your garage that you built. It's an impressive backdrop. You know, you have great partners such as, I mean, you just dropped that thing with 7-Eleven, Pennzoil. I mean, that's it. That's a wrap. Thanks, Larry. Thanks for joining us.
Let me just introduce myself before I just kind of jump right out in the gate saying I'm racing Model 3s and stuff. My name is Larry Chen. I'm a car culture and automotive photographer. I'm a Canon Explorer of Light, which means I'm actually a Canon sponsored photographer. They signed me up when I was 35 years old in winter of 2019. And yeah, it's always been a dream of mine to be an official Canon photographer. And I'm the only automotive one. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of them are wedding photographers, landscape, nature, conflict, news, this, that, and other, everything under the sun. I'm the only automotive. And I've been shooting for 20 years now. I'm the Formula Drift official photographer. I'm also the Pikes Peak official photographer. I just love cars and car culture. It's what I do every single day. I take pictures of cars. I've been all over the world, over 50 countries, photographing cars and car culture. It's a dream job. It's what I love to do. So then the whole EV thing, it's cool because when I first started following racing and car culture, there was pretty much none of that, you know, and I watched it grow to this point where now I mentioned Pikes Peak, Romain Dumas has the overall record by almost a minute in his Volkswagen IDR Pikes Peak crazy downforce machine, which we actually worked for Volkswagen to capture that whole effort. And it was a big effort, if you can imagine. Just a little side note on that. I've never seen a vehicle move so much volume of air out of its way. Mm. I've been shooting racing, like I said, for so long. But not only does it sound like a jet airplane because of how much air it's moving when it's passing by you and when it's moving through time space, you can see the environment around it get affected by this thing. You know, it's picking up all the dust on the ground. It's pushing all of the foliage and bushes and trees and bushes to the side as it's going through. But it's also shooting dust, rocks, and stuff. I don't even know. So high in the air, you can't even see where it's going. It's like cleaning the road. It's like a vacuum cleaner. And that's kind of the moment where I was thinking like, wow, okay, there is space. There is room for EV performance in car culture. It's like very focused, of course. It's using its benefits, which for those of you guys who don't know, Pikes Peak, it's a hill climb and it starts at around 9,000, 8,000 feet and it ends at 14,115 feet. And when you're actually climbing up at 14,000 feet, it's 40% less oxygen, maybe a little more than sea level. So then you're not getting the degradation of power for a normal ICE vehicle as you're going up. But what I found recently, and it's something that a lot of the EV teams have been battling, is heat soak and also battery drain that they're still dealing with. They still lose horsepower, but in a different way. I just ramble on.
No, I'm here for it. And it just conjures a lot of questions for me because analogously, I would say that you had that aha moment at Pikes Peak and seeing. So two things for me is Volkswagen, what do they do with that? Because as you said, there is room, there is space. I like how you said that because you're not just this curmudgeoned old dude. And obviously we're fairly young, all things relatively speaking. But then also analogously, I would say it's like applying your craft of photography. It's going film to digital and saying like, hey, there is a place for film. There is a place to have this kind of analog, by no means is photography analog, but film compared to digital and right. So it's almost like you can still pay homage and have respect of your old Datsun Z, but man, it's really cool to see this Volkswagen ID or the, you know, even the Miura or something, you know, like, and then you start cutting into supercars and what Rimac is doing or some other, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think maybe this is far enough. We're 7 minutes in. It's probably a good time for me to just kind of lay out my view on EV. Is it too early for that?
That's why we're here. No, I got popcorn right here. I'm here for it, man, and so is everybody. Because
I'm just going to lay it out for
because you are so close to so many different cars. I mean, just coming from Tokyo Auto Salon, working with Toyota, working with different manufacturers, as you said, documenting this journey. You know, most recently talk about Pikes Peak, Leah Block and Lucy Block racing the all electric Sierra. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I just was in Tokyo shooting for Nissan, shooting their Hyperforce, which is an EV vehicle. We shot that in Tokyo. My stance on it is that you and I are going to be able to continue what we love to do in our lifetime. And we'll just be, if we love ICE vehicles, and if we love modifying these classic vehicles, and even the vehicles that are coming out in this current generation, it's not going to affect us in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be fine. I think there's definitely a place for electric swaps, all new electric vehicles as a method of transportation. But the enthusiast side, and just like a worldwide look at it, if you look at it from like a worldwide lens, it's just going to stick around. Like there's just so many different technologies with, alternative fuels and, what is that? Synthetic fuels.
Yep.
And also there's that whole technology of creating fuels, from the existing energy that we have. What's the term for that? I forgot the term for that.
I'm drawing a blank.
Basically, we're not adding carbon to the atmosphere with creating this sort of fuel, right? It's like we're using the energy that we already have. And I think that's really important along with EV, because if you go to countries outside of the US, if you live in Santa Monica or Los Angeles or San Francisco, and you're in that bubble and you look around and you see all these Teslas and electric vehicles, you think, oh, why are people driving these gas vehicles or diesel vehicles when you could just drive an electric vehicle? Well, as soon as you step out of the country, you go to Southeast Asia, you go to even South America, Central America, you go to, you know, parts of Europe, it's basically impossible. The infrastructure is so much further away than what we have here in the US. Like you couldn't even imagine it. And let's talk about even Japan, right? You think Japan is so far in terms of technology. It could not be any further away from adopting EV wholly. It's just basically impossible right now. You know, in the future, who knows? I think beyond our lifetime. But the point is, you see companies like Toyota really just having a solid stance on, okay, you know what? Let's just do what we can with what we have now, which is really investing heavily into hybrid, which I think is such a good job. It's just being more efficient, being just utilizing technology to our advantage, which is potentially if you're doing your commute day to day, you may never even use the gas engine on board or generator, you know. You could just use the hybrid technology, but then as soon as you need to take that road trip or drive further or skip a charge, I was just thinking about it just now, just this last trip. I landed in Indianapolis, okay? I went to Avis to pick up my rental car, and I see that they have a bunch of Model 3s there. I would love to drive that and use it for my work, but it's impossible. There's just the infrastructure is just not there yet. Again, it'll eventually get there. But guess what I did? Landed in Indy, drove 2.5 hours to Louisville, did a speaking thing. You know, I valeted the car. Next morning, what did I do? Drove 2.5 hours to Cincinnati to do a shoot. And then immediately after 4 hours of shooting, drove back to Louisville.
Yeah. Could you do that with an EV, no, right?
It's impossible. Yeah. It's literally impossible.
This is the topic that always comes up, and you have a fleet of vehicles, you know, there in your garage and your workspace and your studio, and it's finding the right tool for the job. Just like you have lenses, you have cars, right? So just as that filter, you have a filter of what you're going to drive, you know? I mean, more often than not, you're driving your LX, right? You're driving kind of your SUV because you know it's unapologetic. It's going to get me there. I could fit all my stuff in it, but then you barely drive your Porsche Turbo. Do you love your orange bang? Yeah, of course you do. And I'm talking about all of, you know, Larry's cars here. And you know, you have, you know, your Tundra, you have multiple different vehicles, but it's just finding the right tool for the job. Am I correct in saying, is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. So like, you know, doing the Tesla EV race at Lime Rock in the Model 3, super fun. The dynamics of driving are there. You know, there's a couple things that are lost in terms of like kind of a sense of speed because you don't have like gears that you're in. But I love that racetracks are adopting, hey, let's put these chargers here because people are going to bring their EV vehicles and we want them to be able to charge. But that's like a very specific use case. Pretty much, I look at my vehicles right now and I'm like, I think about what I do every single day and it's basically impossible to use electric, full electric. For hybrid, no problem. Like, we just picked up a motorhome because we use that for productions. You know, it has a 50-gallon gas tank because you need to go far. You need to be in the sticks. Sometimes we're in the desert for a week at a time. And then, you know, it has a built-in gas generator, fully off-grid. We're charging all our batteries. We're doing full productions. And then we're self-sustaining. If that was full electric, there's just no way. It's just so far gone. And then towing our vehicles hundreds, thousands of miles for shoots or overlanding. You know, this week is King of the Hammers. My guys are currently out there right now with two of my off-road builds. We're chasing for hundreds of miles at a time. Or what about Baja? We chased the Baja 1000 in my Tundra. It was the craziest. It was 1,200 mile or 1,200
1,200 miles. Yeah, so it was the longest it's been.
And it was the first time that it was backwards.
Mm-hmm. So it went from La Paz up to Ensenada.
It went from La Paz to Ensenada. And it was the first time I ever chased a race where I had to shoot the start, jump in an airplane, a commercial plane, fly from La Paz to Tijuana, get picked up in the LC200 Land Cruiser to continue chasing the race and then shoot the finish line. This stuff logistically is impossible with EV, but with alternative fuels is completely 100% possible. I really do believe in the whole alternative fuel thing, because in terms of like not wasting what we already have, think of how many millions and millions and millions of vehicles and engines that we have currently that just all of a sudden, if we run alternative fuels and eco fuels, they turn into something that is eco-friendly, and we're not just adding to the carbon in the air. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you know too much about this, but I've kind of starting to look into it. What it is you're using energy like wind energy, solar energy. You're just using energy to create this fuel, and you're not actually, again, adding more carbon. You're just using the existing carbon that we've already taken, and we're just recycling it, you know. So it's just like this cycle. It's not there yet where it's 100%, but it's getting to the point where it's pretty close. I understand that it's still very expensive to do, but it's a start. Yeah. And I really, really, really believe in that, because every one of my vehicles that I have here in my shop can become eco-friendly. All the race cars in the world, every vehicle, airplanes even, become sustainable from that technology versus just building these new crazy cars with longer and longer range, bigger and bigger batteries. There's a place for both of them. Yeah. You know, this last season of Capturing Car Culture, my show that we have on Hagerty, this last season, we traveled to so many places in Southeast Asia and Asia. And I started pretty strong this year also with going to Hong Kong, going to Thailand. All these places that we're traveling, I'm seeing on the ground what cars and car culture is like, including just the normal method of transportation. And man, good luck trying to get an autonomous vehicle to drive in any of those places, or even just getting electric infrastructure. And what's crazy is I haven't been to Hong Kong, I think, in almost 14, 15 years. It looks exactly the same. All the taxis are the same. Toyota Crowns. In a moment, once you switch them all to eco-friendly or renewable fuel, the whole thing changes, you know, versus just scrapping all of it, all of the metal, all of that plastic, everything, and then replacing it with new vehicles. I just don't see it. It's just so far, not at least not in our lifetime, really.
Well, again, it is like that, you know, film going to digital. It's not an overnight thing. I don't think you can turn on a switch like everybody potentially. You just plug in, and there's dirty energy. There's clean energy. You know, there's people that have panels in their roofs and they're running, you know, 60-70%. You know, Matt Teske does a good job of that, talking about Chargeway. And most recently, we had E for Electric, and he lived in California for a long time, and he moved to Thailand, and he talked about autonomous vehicles and how efficient they are there. And I said, what's good about EV? And he was kind of hard pressed. He said he's really looking forward to mass transit, you know, rails and things like that. And also Thai culture has a lot of scooters. So, you know, imagine charging all of those two-wheeled vehicles, because we're not exclusive to four-wheel on Electrify News and Electrify Expo. Obviously, it's all about mobility, you know, and it could be, you know, boots and shoes that move you faster, or bikes and two wheels. But, you know, specifically about you capturing motorsports, you know, I mean, even the image right here behind me, that's, was that 24 hours?
Yeah, 24 hours in Daytona. Yeah.
Daytona. We think that's Milliner, but it's probably not Milliner. Shout out to our boy Tommy, but because, right? Who was
on that team?
He was on the team that year.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, I had to. That's why I'm here in the corner. I am in a safe place. Don't worry about me. but your perspective, I think, is healthy because, like I said, you are a family man. So you talked about in our lifetime. So that's where the dialogue, and I want to get your thought on this, is where, you know, your kids get excited about room, room, you know, because they're around all the time, as are mine, right? But I think there is this shift of, why does it need to be loud? Why does it need to be a little more stinky? We're in that kind of analog cusp. We're on that tipping point of saying, hey, there is application of this technology and how does it apply to us? Like you said, this Tesla Model 3 race, you know, Randy Pope's an Unplugged Performance, and you talk about Dumas and his record, you know, that Volkswagen ID. What is Volkswagen doing with all that technology? You say moving all this air, efficiency is a big thing. I mean, the new Prius, as you talk about Toyota, the hybrid, dude, that thing looks sick. It looks great. It finally doesn't look like a doorstop anymore, amazing. Right? Yeah. Like it used to just be like whole door, you know, like it'd be a wedge. Now it's like, it's aesthetically pleasing.
There's just so much I mean, car culture, as you know, it's the biggest it's ever been, period. And it's something that you can't even hold back.
No.
I don't think we're at the peak yet. You look at all facets of car culture, whether it be racing, like look at F1, look how big F1 is. I never thought in my lifetime F1 would be this big. You look at what Pat Long and Lufka Cult and Aaron Water and just culture in general, none of that stuff existed when I was growing up. I could have only dreamed of that, you know?
But look at us engaging right here and people listening to this and being like, yeah, you're right. And now it's like here, you know, here's my oldest son, Parker, who's trying to get into the biz, and he is, but he's 17 years old. So I think internet, it's kind of a good and a bad thing, right? Put your phone down. Well, I'm working, you know, and I know we're constantly on the road. You're doing things. So it's just how, you know, how you manage it, right?
Before I forget, let me just mention this one point. That's an interesting talking point about EVs and what you're saying about cars making noise. This is something that I've said many, many times on interviews and videos, and it's something that I think about all the time. And it's something that I think the EV companies have been starting to address. So the crazy thing about cars, we as humans, we were never meant to move that fast, you know? But also, we may never have been meant to or we were maybe, you know, in some other universe, we were never meant to enjoy music and I don't know, love music, and music may not be a thing. You know, music is so much of a big part of our lives. I mean, it's really, a lot of people say they can't even live without music, right?
Big facts.
Yep. Yeah. And most people live their entire lives just for music. That is related from what I can, what I've just figured out is, that's the same way with cars, right? You think the four rotors would be popular if they didn't make the sound that they make, you know?
Great point.
In a way, the rotaries are actually pretty inefficient and just the worst way to make power. You know, I mean, like, I get it.
But you love it.
It's so cool. The way it works and the technology and internal combustion, you know, it still works. And obviously, you know, because of Mazda winning in Le Mans was such a big deal. And there is a place for it in terms of like how it can work and how it can be efficient in making power. Let's be honest. We all love it for the sound.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be one rotor or, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, getting to the point where it's 12 rotor now, I think what Rob is trying to do, Rob Dom. We love it because of the sound. We don't need the sound. It's not actually making the cars go any faster. But I would say a lot of my cars I have just because of the sound, mm-hmm. because we love the music. It makes something that's just a method of transportation beyond that. It makes it have emotion, and it gives it this aura. And it just changes it, you know. It's because it's making sound, and it's literally all of our senses, we're enjoying it, like the smell, the touch, the feel, you know, the way it moves your body. And then you, it's like the final little thing is like the sound, the beautiful music. All the time when I'm driving my cars, I'll just get it just to the point where it's entering boost, you know, just so there's some pressure in the manifold. And then it just makes everything better. You know, I'm just having so much more fun, even if I'm not even going that fast.
Yeah.
It just changes you, you know, it's a big part of you. And then of course, now when you go into EV, that's all gone. And that's why recently or last World Time Attack, I actually went down to Australia to Sydney Motorsport Park, and Hyundai let me drive their Ioniq 5N, which it simulates gears and it also simulates sound. And I wouldn't say it was good. It's far from perfect, but it was something.
Okay.
There was something there, the way it acts, how violent it is. And that goes to show, like, it's not just about the performance aspect of it. You know, it's a lot of people, including, I think Matt Farah will say this too. When you're driving like a Rimac, is that how you say it?
Rimac, yeah.
Rimac.
Yep.
When you're driving a Rimac or a Tesla Plaid at normal traffic speeds, it just feels, it might as well be like a Model 3 or Model Y. You know, it's the same thing. It doesn't really give you that feel. It doesn't feel special. But when I'm driving my 240Z, or when I'm driving my R32 or R34, or even my like more modern cars, like my A90 Supra or J86 or whatever, at just normal traffic speeds, oh my God, just the emotion overcomes me. You know, I can't even stop it. I'm like, it transforms me. And obviously it's not just me. It's so many people in the world that this, it's something that we just can't give away. We can't get rid of. We can't give up our music. And that's going to be a problem. That's something that we're going to have to address. But that's the whole biofuel thing, you know, eco-friendly fuel thing that's coming in, that I think it's just going to change things. I mean, like, look at Formula E versus Formula One, right? Formula One, the sound, the way it sounds when it's like decelerating, or even when I'm shooting endurance racing, right? Like the Toyota hybrid cars, or any of the other hybrid race cars.
Yeah.
How cool does it sound? Even when it switches just from EV, when it takes off like a rocket ship, completely silent. But as soon as the internal combustion engine comes in, for those of you guys who have heard that sound and that transition, there's nothing like it. It sounds so crazy. It's just like all of a sudden a big explosion, boom. And then it's just like this hum and whine. And it's just like, it just changes you. I'm like getting the chills just thinking about that sound, you know. It's just so good versus complete silence. That's like, it's almost like you're denying yourself of this sense. Really.
I think, you know, we're talking about music, and I love that analogy. I think that makes sense, because yes, I think there's a soundtrack to life, you know, and you turn on a particular song and you smell the smells. I mean, again, the image behind me, right, at Sebring, you're trying to capture emotion. So it's kind of ironic that you're talking about these sounds and these feels and these smells. You're a photographer. You're trying to capture that with the photography. That's why you're blurring these lights. And you told me the story about you capturing this. The Christmas lights were close. You got them panned, and did it, right? And you're trying to paint this picture. And your paintbrush is this camera. But much more than that, you are a car guy. So at the essence of it, you're the orchestrator. So both between this exhaust sounds right, that one doesn't sound right. You know, as we know, the BMW E46 exhaust was it sounds like a jet ski. You put the right exhaust on it and you're like, oh snap, right? And like SMG trans, remember, like when SMG trans, you're like, I don't know, I think I could shift faster than that thing, right? And you're like, it's, you know, and obviously SMG caught some flack, but this is just this shift. And that's why I really enjoy this, Larry. I don't know if you've tuned into other episodes of this, but I enjoy it because I'm going down this path along with anybody listening to this. So you might bring somebody in and say, hey, listen to this podcast. I really enjoy this conversation with Jared. It's healthy. It's progressive. And I give my stance. I give my 2 points because you and I are at this cusp. We are, I think, this last formidable generation, you know, because again, my kids are, you know, one's about same age as yours, but my older one, he's on this transition point, you know, and I love the analogy of a music and soundtrack. I don't think it'll go away, but how do we apply that technology of Dumas moving air, as you say? There's the aero component. And you know, we talk about EV and you talk about batteries, but let's talk about efficiency. Let's talk about, like you say, biofuels. I mean, you work with Pennzoil. You know, they're going to play a major role. All these lubricant companies, it's not going away. You know, that's like the movie, like Who Killed the Electric Vehicle, right? And everybody says, here's these, you know, lubricants and oils and fossil fuels. I think just the dialogue, it's healthy for here we are, two guys primarily coming from drifting, not exclusively, yeah, just like EV, but we enjoy it all. And I think that's where you and I are kind of like, we have this big scope of from drifting, which everybody thought was just this fad, and now it's like become awesome. And here's Jim Farley at Ford saying, like, we're not denouncing, we're still going to make badass V8s, but we're also going to make, you know, the Raptor R, we're also going to make Switchgear, which is an all electric essentially Raptor, which he built in conjunction with our boy Vaughn Gittin Jr. RTR. I would love for you to share this with people later and just be like, hey, this is me talking about EV. Like,
yeah,
do I own one? No. Could I see it? For the right job.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if I had a daily commute, of course it would make sense to do that. But my daily commute is crazy. You know,
you're going out to Johnson Valley, you're going to come home, go back out there. Yeah.
Right. Or, you know, flying across the world, getting into a rental car or someone's build or some press vehicle or whatever. And it's just like, so much movement and the energy density of EV. Hopefully, maybe one day it will be solved. Maybe it will get there. But right now, it's not there. But despite that, I feel like people still want that music and that emotion of the internal combustion engine. There's just something so cool about this thing that's mechanical in nature, but it has this lore beyond what it actually is. You know, it is crazy. I mean, we've dedicated our lives to this thing. You know, it's insane.
And it's coming, right? So you talked about going to Tokyo Auto Salon. So, you know, and shooting that Nissan, that EV project or hybrid. Mm-hmm. What was it exactly?
Yeah. So it's just a concept car from Nissan. And what I photographed wasn't really a car. It was more of a art installation or statue, moving statue, if that makes sense. That's what most concept cars are. Most concept cars are made out of clay. And this thing just happened to move under its own power slowly, but it moved. And I did something that I've never done before. After shooting for all this time, for whatever reason, I never did a walking panning shot.
Okay.
Like, you know, like one of the things that we love doing, we love rolling shots a lot. Uh-huh. I actually posted on my Instagram. We love doing rolling shots from car to car, but this car moved pretty slow, you know, because like I said, it is an art piece. They just didn't want to damage it also as one off, you know, built in a studio. Mm-hmm. And I just walked on the sidewalk next to it, holding my camera, and I was just shooting, and that's how I was able to get it moving, like the motion, show the motion. Like, yeah, it could have been going, like, if you look at the photo, it's like, oh wow, that thing was going fast. It was going walking pace.
Oh, there you are. I see it now. Along with the hyper force. So yeah, if you go to Larry_Chen_FOTO, you could look at more of Larry's photos. And I mean, Larry has absolutely amassed such a great following and doing all the car stuff. So that was interesting.
We did a shoot recently, actually, for Robert Downey Jr. Downey's Dream Cars is a show on Max or HBO Max. It's called Max now. And we actually went to the premiere. Mr. Downey was there. And it was a story about him building six vehicles, right? Half of the six vehicles turned or became EV swaps. Half of them were ICE swaps, but like they just improved in miles per gallon, or they just improved in efficiency. Both of the groups were better for the environment, pretty much. Like for example, one of them was a Mercedes like diesel that was super efficient, inefficient, like an old one of those huge boats, right? Yeah. And what they ended up doing was they actually put a Humvee, a crazy 6-liter V8 diesel in it, but it actually made it way more efficient, gave it a lot more power, could do burnouts, could do honestly almost a wheelie because I drove that thing. You know, we photographed those cars. One of them was an El Camino that he lifted and made like this crazy overland vehicle. And instead of using the stock vehicle, the motor that probably got 5 miles per gallon after all this time, with the inefficient transmission and also inefficient everything, they did a turbo, like a modern inline four turbo swap.
Yeah.
That out of a like a modern Chevy pickup truck.
Sick. Right.
So modern transmission, modern engine, way more efficient. And then some of the EV vehicles, right? So like they did a Volkswagen bus, right? A Volkswagen bus, instead of using that air-cooled motor, they put an EV swap. But the coolest part about this, still retain the manual transmission.
Mm.
And which really blew me away, because this manual transmission still had a reverse, which means if you put it in reverse and you ran the motor backwards, it would still make you go forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, no, so I thought about this a lot, actually. I was thinking, okay, it's cool that all these EV swaps, it's one speed and it's the motor mm-hmm. just going forward and backwards, and it's the gearing is the way it is, and that's it. Why not attach a normal manual transmission? Because that's a big complaint, right, for a lot of people. Right,
they're out there. A lot of people, man.
A lot of people will be like, "Oh, I like shifting my gears, and even if I'm going faster, it's just fun to be able to have that control, and it's just more engaging as a driver." Right? It's just like film and digital, like you're saying for photography. Well, I drove this EV bus, and it was so cool to be able to shift through the gears, and it was legitimately faster if I accelerated in first and I topped out the RPM of the electric motor, and then I would shift to second, and it was almost like a boom, like a big clutch kick because of how much power I was
like that.
It wasn't really meant for that.
Instantaneous, right?
Yeah. But with that said, it's something that can be dialed in more to mimic an actual engine. The problem with it right now, as I've seen, my buddy Rob Carlson was with me when we were driving it, and he was kind of explaining to me what's happening. He's like, well, the problem is there's no like drag on the electric motor for it to go down in RPM. It's not like you could just go vroom, vroom, like a normal engine. You can't just, you can just go vroom, vroom, red line and then just let it go down. With an electric motor, as soon as you hit it, it'll hit redline and it'll slowly come down because there's just no resistance. Yeah. So what I was doing when I was shifting in between the gears and stuff, I was trying to play with it like it's a normal transmission or a normal engine. Wasn't working that way.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because you can, it's a 4-speed transmission. You can start in first or second or third or fourth. You can just leave it in fourth and drive around all day, but it's so slow. It's like, and you could like it's getting to the point where the motor's like in between its I guess magnets, right? It's like and then it's like bucking back and forth, and then it finally starts going. But if you put it in third or second, it's so smooth, buttery smooth. You can drive all day without shifting. Yeah. But here I am, like you know, trying to be that hero, trying to just get as much speed out of it as possible. First gear, you know, topping out red line, and second gear. I thought it was so interesting, and it's definitely a concept that can be done better. I think it can be something that can, it's just, there's just so much room for improvement. And I think it's interesting. Of course, it's not, it just doesn't have the same essence.
But it's getting there. What you just described was kind of feeding your traditional, this is called traditional feels and emotions. So you having that shifting. And again, with this, you know, since I've started this podcast, you know, last year in 23, BJ says, hey, we just want to take a different angle. I said, well, I don't own an EV. I'm going down this journey. I announced Nitrocross, which is all electric, right? And we've seen this EV stuff grow before our eyes. And I think it is evolving into what we know as traditional and going with the trends. And I mean, a lot of friends of ours, you know, if it's Rywire, if it's BC, you know, all of these people are applying this EV technology. Also, fun fact, Remots, again, the supercar, does hold the record for the fastest EV in reverse. That's right, going backwards, 171 miles per hour.
That's crazy.
Going in reverse in an electric car. So just fun fact.
it's too easy for people in our industry just to dismiss it and just say, it's just whatever, appliance. I mean, they are really, but
Matt Farah calls it a widget, which yeah. You know, he owns a Mach-E. He said he'll buy another one. You know, Volkswagen gets scrutinized quite a bit. Obviously Tesla, you know, I know you shoot with Jay and Leno's Garage, and I've talked about Jay a few times, and you know, his alternative fuels, you know, you look at steam, you look at obviously, you know, hydrogen, you look at all, you know, and some of the funnest cars he has. Yeah. He's got the tank car, which is that big tank engine on wheels, and it's huge. Mm-hmm. But you know, you just saw the Cybertruck. I know you guys shot the Cybertruck with him at his space and his facility. I know Lewis, who's near and dear to our heart, L2, he talked about like, is it something I want? Is it cool? You know, Tyler was like, it might be fatty. You know, meaning it's a fad, not fatty, right, like a big car, but it is a big car. Yeah. Just all of this comes up in conversation. That's why I enjoy it. And that's why I was like, all right, you know, they were booking you. And I was like, I'm interested to hear Larry's perspective and stance.
What's one thing that I like to talk about is all these cars that are just stuck in time, right? A 32 Ford is always going to be 32 Ford. Nothing is ever going to replace the 32 Ford. Same thing with the R32, R34, and so on and so forth.
Yep. A Nova, I'm just worried. Camaro, Mustang.
Yeah. That, you know, 69 Mustang is a 69 Mustang. That's it. It's 1 year, one and done. What exists, and it's forever in history books. And it's a, you know, we love it or hate it, it's there. And
the PT Cruiser, am I right?
Yeah. Well, come on, the 2.4 liter turbo version, you know? Hey, right. Yeah. So that's, it's just something that's so interesting to me. It's almost like those cars will live on forever. It's we've loved those cars. We've loved them. We've transformed them. We've enjoyed them. And then once they got created, they just entered the history books forever. What I'm worried about a lot with these EV vehicles is that it's not going to be that way. There's just going to be like, cool, bro. You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe the first Tesla, the Roadster, yeah. You know, because I saw that at Tesla. Future Collector Car Show at Barrett Jackson. They actually had one there at the show. I was a judge at the show. There's no reason for me to pick it because I wasn't like the original or restoration judge or whatever. My title was basically I just needed to pick the vehicle that had the best story, or that the original concept of the build was followed through all the way, and it was like something that actually had a lot of heart and soul and from the owner and the car, the vehicle itself. I ended up picking a Starlet, old Starlet, had a great story. But I look at that Roadster, I'm like, that's cool, that's there. And I'm guessing that's probably gone up in price a lot because of what, you know, Tesla has become. I'm just worried that a lot of these cars coming out now will be recycled and just destroyed.
They're disposable, little vanilla, not that personality. And again, this is your perspective, and you're absolutely entitled to that, because here you are that talks so emphatically about the Skylines and the culture that fed you and I, and everybody has this perspective. So I think both you and I need to experience EV, not just, you know, it's hard to unthink and unlearn and unsee what you've seen and feel, right? Like those emotions, again, going to Goodwood Festival Speed and seeing that two-cylinder Fiat that has more displacement up and down with those pistons, or and then seeing, I mean, you were there. You were at the shoot with the Hunatron, right? Yeah. You were there. You got to see and witness and talking to Ken about that. You know, RIP KB forever. He talked about what that car can do and what it can't do, what it can do uniquely. So
that vehicle was insane.
See, here we go. Now we're talking, Larry.
That vehicle was insane, but there was just a lot of things about it that were difficult for Ken to do the same things that he could do in the Hunicorn, right? So one thing that I figured out, and it's something that I've talked to a lot of the other people surrounding the car about, was that it was kind of hard for him to modulate tire, like wheel speed. And of course he was getting better and better at it at the end of the shoot. But the nice thing about the Hunicorn is, man, put that thing in second or third gear and you just bounce off the rev limiter and shooting fire and all that. And then he's able to have centimeter precision with it legitimately. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you look at the photo of him on Pikes Peak, completely mixed surface shot of him almost going off of Evo Corner. That's millimeter precision. You know, he stacked a couple rocks on top of each other and like this tall, and that was his marker, and he hit his marker with that precision. Now with the EV, oh my God. You know, you know, I'm Ken's number one fan. Everybody will say that they're Ken's number one fan, but it was just hard for him to replicate the same line over and over and over in that EV, because it's just so ahead of its time. You know, maybe in the next generation of it, if Leah drives it, whatever, maybe she can get it where it's like even closer, millimeter precision, but it was just not there at the time. And one of the big complaints that everyone has is the sound. And I honestly did miss the sound of crazy twin turbo fire breathing V8. That's not to say this thing wasn't loud. It was so loud I had to wear earplugs all the time because of the mechanical noise that it had, and also the wheel speed. The wheel speed of something going from 0 to 150 is so loud, I have to wear earplugs, otherwise it would damage my ears. It was just so crazy to see it. I'm glad I got to see it. You know, it was one of the last big, it was the last big shoot I ever did with Ken in Mexico. And of course, before that was the one in Las Vegas with the ultimate shutdown.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. RIP. I was pulling up some photos because, you know, this fat FAT, they're doing an ice race in Aspen, Colorado. They were just in a ZLMC, which I believe is Switzerland, but the Hunatron was there and it raced on the ice with spikes. It was pretty sweet. What are you most excited about when it comes to like the EV space? Like again, seeing Dumas, seeing the Sierra car, which back to your point, you know, this the shifting, and that was really difficult for Lucy Block, you know, just a different feeling, different emotion. What are you most excited about as we're kind of wrapping things up here? I know you're a busy man, but what excites you most about it?
I think it's tough to say. I mean, of course, hill climb and racing where it makes sense. That's why.
Do you feel Formula E is a little? Do you think E is a little forced, like Formula E?
It's so weird to me that it's so. It's. it's so weird to me that Formula E is like unloved compared to F1, but it's like, it's still open wheel, really good racing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense why it's not as loved. I don't know why.
I think all the points that you just spoke about, it's just that mental shift of like, what? Like, here comes the cars. Woo. But with Nitrocross, I always chime in here. You get to hear the gravel underneath the carbon and underneath this. So it's a different sensation. The power is immediate. I'm 1,000 horsepower. It's a capable machine. So you don't get just the, you know, not just the squealing of the tires. Even, mm-hmm. you know, Vaughn and the Mach-E 1400, very capable machine, different sensation, you know, and mm-hmm. talked about the audio, T-Pain making the exhaust note. You know, I just watched Will.i.am have a music car, like these things. So back to your soundtrack concept, I think you're right. It's noise, it's feel, it's emotion. It's what we've learned and grown up with.
But yeah, maybe even Time Attack. Basically, with the technology that we have now here, I'm actually interested in seeing other kinds of racing adopt it. It's going to be a long time before they can do endurance racing, like 24-hour races or desert races, 1,200 miles across, you know, Baja California. But there's just certain types of racing that it makes sense. Drag racing, obviously, it's already kind of adopted EV.
Yeah.
And then, of course, hybrid technology. Better hybrid technology, I think, would be super useful. Or even just some other kind of energy capture technology. You know, like what's really interesting to me is that flywheel technology of like still retaining energy, but in a different way, not actually in a battery, but in a flywheel, right? Yeah. Like you slow down and it speeds up this flywheel to like crazy 100,000 RPM or something. And then you release that energy back into going forward again. Oh, there's just so many things that are interesting to me, because that's the beauty about car culture. You know, there's just so many facets of car culture that is interesting. And I mean, that's how I'm able to keep going every single day. There's just too many stories to tell. I just don't have enough time to tell all these stories, you know?
Yeah. And you do such a good job of it. And it's so funny. Some of the creature comforts that you don't enjoy is what other people do enjoy. So making a car digestible, like a Prius, where it is, it's not the beautiful canvas of, like you say, this, you know, this GR86 or the GR Supra, or, you know, just out of the gate, just a fun, cool car. The Prius needs to be a little more digestible, but now it's kind of evolving. Like, I mean, the Prius has got to be celebrating what, like 25 years? I mean, how long has it been? Right. And then, and, you know, you talked about the shifting, right? Some people are like, I don't even know how to drive one, right? Like that's the millennial security system they joke about, right? But CVT transmission was created so you don't get the shift, right? So it's just, you and I serve a different purpose. And again, I golf a lot. I'm out in cars. Do I race? No. Can I? For sure. Of course. But I don't know. I love this conversation.
You know what's interesting? And it's something that I kind of just, I've been thinking about, and I just kind of thought about it again. You look at something like Barrett Jackson, right? Barrett Jackson pretty much lives off of the concept that I brought up about, you know, 32 Ford, 69 Mustang. Or in 2024, there are so many cars that are out now on dealerships that have that essence, mm-hmm. right? Like the GR cars, like you said, GR, Yaris, GRMN, or the GR Corolla Murizo edition, you know that thing is gonna skyrocket in price, mm-hmm. and it's gonna be collectible and it's gonna be sought after. And that's not just the Toyota side, right? Ford, what about the GT500 or?
Nismo Z.
Yeah, Nismo Z, R35 T-Spec, Nismo R35, you know, Honda, NSX or Type R, or there's just so many things across pretty much most of the manufacturers now. BMWs, perfect example. They always make these special, and Porsche is probably the leader of that, right?
Right.
Building these cars that are just iconic.
One of one.
The moment they're announced.
Yep.
Forever. Always yep. going to go up in price. Never yep. going to go down in price. I look at how many, I don't know, maybe it's even a million people that go to Bear Jackson over throughout the week, that whole time period, right? Or think of how many people it affects across the web or whatever, who watch the shows and on TV or online. That age or that generation of people will age out and will die off. I guess it's up to us to figure out if we can move it on to the next generation and the next generation after that. It's just something interesting to think about, because it's like, yeah, it's this big now, but as all of these people age out, I don't know, maybe the perception of cars and car culture will change, but I just don't, it's just so far. It's so far for me. I can't even fathom it.
It makes sense. And again, this is you're so much about the emotion, again, capturing it, either be a static car, you know, talk about this Nissan vehicle, or, you know, going to Leno's and taking a photo of these steam powered cars. People are like, what, fuel? I mean, how do they have to transfer fuel? Via horse, right? Via carriage. And then they got fuel in cars. And now, like, again, this whole experience, I think you give a fresh, good perspective, because you are so close to so many iconic vehicles, and you've seen the history of just even, you know, your 40 plus life. You've seen a lot, and we're going to see more, and we're going to see it, you know, through our kids' eyes. And, you know, you have Hot Wheels, you know, you have Hot Wheels of your own vehicles, and just all of this contributes to the automotive experience and that automotive culture, and either be the Lightning or the Switchgear or the Remots supercar, or even, like you say, just a basic Model 3, whatever serves your purpose. And we're petrol heads. Is it going to be an electrify head? Yeah, it's going to happen. It's just how, when, what's going to be that aha moment. You know, you hear of motorcycle dudes seeing that first chopper down the road, like, yeah, that dude's badass. I want that. You know, you're not like, that thing's sick, you know, but
it's like the Jetsons,
yeah, which I would 100% do. But I think it's you bring a great perspective. Anything else you want to plug, man, at all? I mean, you got so many things going on. Again, the cars of 7-Eleven is really cool. I love that activation that you did that. But anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, that just speaking on that, that's such a normal thing that's like meant to be. Right. Where do you go for your pit stops? In the US, at least, we have so many 7-Eleven gas stations all across Asia, just so many places that love 7-Eleven as a place when you're mid cruise, or it could even be your destination. But most of the time, it's along the way, right? Yeah. When we're going from shoot to shoot in whatever car we have, even if it's not cool, you have to stop to refill your body, and you just park up and it looks cool. It's the colors, the
nostalgia. As a photographer, the lighting's always seems like ideal,
it's the
right?
Best. The best. It's so good. our show on Hagerty is a big part of what we do now. It is so cool to be able to partner up with a company like Hagerty, where they literally just say, go. Awesome. And come back with content. And we legitimately do not tell them what we're shooting until it's shot and it's just ready to publish.
It's in the can.
Because I just follow the stories that I care about, that I love, cool, and the stories that I want to tell. And a lot of the stories that I want to retell in video that I've been able to tell before with stills. There's that. We do a lot of work with Pennzoil. We do a lot of work with Type S. They single-handedly brought Underglow back. Am I right?
Yeah.
One single company, they literally said, okay, every single AutoZone, you can buy legit Underglow. And right. It's like legit, okay. Because in Japan, I installed a Type S kit on my R34. And, you know, the R34 is so expensive and it's just so frail and fragile. It's this 25-year-old car. I don't want to drill into the chassis, right? So I just use the 3M double-sided tape. And then the next day I take it to Fuji Speedway and I go 165 miles an hour down the straight. And the undergold survived. It didn't come off. So
wind tunnel tested.
Yeah, exactly. So love what Type S is doing. Love what they're doing for car culture, because it's not just about going fast. It's about how the car looks when it's standing still.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, it's kind of like Air Ride, right? Like, who cares? You just use it when it's parked, pretty much. You lay chassis, but it's so cool to do that. You know, it's just sitting there looking fast, looking good. But
I love it. Well, Larry Chen, thank you so much again. You can check him out on YouTube, check him out on Instagram, Larry_CHEN_FOTO. Does so many amazing things. Larry, I'll see you, if not sooner than round one of Formula Drift, maybe see you at the Nitro Cross Finals in Las Vegas, or see you at King of the Hammers, or we'll see you online for sure. Thank you so much, Larry.
Bye.
All right. Peace. Thanks for listening to the Electrify Podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo. Be sure to catch full video episodes on YouTube at Electrify TV and follow along on social media for daily clips and more.